And while they're leaving, the greeting today is turn to your neighbor and lick their face. See, I knew I should do this when I showed up and I saw Levi licking Aubrey's face. So I knew that that was the greeting that we needed to do that today. I love this picture. I spent a lot of times at the Claflins so, in the last few weeks. So I went through all their stuff, and this is what I found. So I'm sure we all remember this. It's only a few weeks ago. Snowmageddon. This was what I was doing during Snowmageddon. Today's message isn't about my vacation to Mexico. I just want you to know that. There's some slides there that are there. But this message is about a journey. And it's about a journey with a guy named Jose. Mi amigo Jose. Jose and I met 17 years ago. I interviewed him at a Starbucks through a mutual friend who was a translator. Doesn't know English, didn't know English. You know, it was an odd meeting. He had just worked with a real large painting company. Some of you don't know, I'm self-employed. I have a paint company, have some employees. When I hired him, I had probably 7 employees, and he was going to come on as a helper. I was looking forward to working with a guy that had a little bit of experience from a big union shop. And that's all I kind of knew about him. We just started working together and just kind of walking through life. And I don't know, it was probably 3 or 4 years. He just started coming to our family events. And I didn't really realize it, but there was a real ta-da moment in my life with Jose. God put him there for a reason. And the verse that Terry read about, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, that's what it was all about. You know, and so what do you do with that? When you've identified somebody in your life, or God has identified somebody in your life, what do you do? And I didn't know what to do. I'd walked with guys that were believers, and we'd gone through Bible studies. He's not a believer. He grew up in the Catholic Church, a different Catholic Church than what you think. It's in Mexico. There's a lot of, what do you call them? They make up stuff. I don't know how else to say it. Superstitions, that's the word I was looking for. There's a lot of superstitions in there, and they do a lot of things that are not biblical. And that was his experience. Now, that's where he's from. My family comes from the Catholic Church, and they don't have those beliefs. But in this particular town that he is from, that's where he was coming from. So I didn't know how to do it. So what I do, I went to God, and I had to ask him, what do I do on this? And he put it on my heart to start to pray. Just pray for him and start from there. And when you pray for somebody, and we all know this, you're going to get a real heart for them. So I really wanted to get to know Jose. And he didn't speak English. He can fake it really well. And you can think that he understands you. But there was a language barrier. And then there was also me, who was very frustrated with the language barrier. That's my fleshly side. My spiritual side that I try to walk in, that I try to choose to walk in, is patient and listens to him and works for understanding. But then the flesh side is fighting that. No, I don't want to. That's too much work. So, you know, we started to pray, or I started to pray for him. I started to get to know him. I started to understand why he didn't ever have money, even though I was paying him a good wage. See, he has 4 kids, and they're in Mexico. And he decided or made the decision to cross the border and come into America. So he, in the middle of the night, hired a mule, not a real mule, but they call them mules, and he escorted them across the border with a group of 50 people. And he came, I think it was through Arizona or Texas, I don't remember, because like I said, I learned this 15 years ago. And he walked for 4 days, walking in the desert. He saw dead bodies as he was walking. It was really, really scary for him. But he knew that he wanted to come to America to make some money. In Mexico, he could work for 250 pesos a day, and that's $15. And that's what food costs there. Food costs in Mexico are not that much different than food costs around here if you eat beans and rice. And that's what he would eat. And so you could probably survive on $15 a day if all you ate was beans and rice. So as I learned this, my first thought was, wait a minute, he's an illegal. I got this business I'm running. So what's my fleshly side do? I fire him. No, actually I didn't. But I thought about it because, you know, I'm going into people's houses, and a lot of you, I've painted your houses. And I needed to do, in my mind, I needed to do the right thing. So I went back to God and said, God, wait a minute. This guy's illegal. I got every justification to walk away from him. And he said, no, I want you to walk with him. And what's that mean? And he didn't answer. He said, just walk with him. So I started just going through life with Jose. We, you know, he was driving and he didn't have insurance because a lot of the illegals don't. And he didn't have insurance. So he got a ticket. It was a big ticket. I helped him with this ticket because that's what you do when you walk with somebody. When God is telling you to walk with someone, you help him out. His car broke down. We started a conversation about doing what's right in America with the laws, and so he got insurance. And we started to our journey of walking towards doing what's right. Now, I didn't come running to him with the Bible, because God didn't say to do that. He said just to walk through his life with him. I didn't start bringing up verses. He wasn't ready. I wasn't ready. I didn't have language skills to talk to him about the grace of God. It doesn't translate. What he sees, or what he knew then of church, was very different than what the truth is. So we couldn't talk about that thing. All I could do is show him my life. So as we kind of our life journey, and we continued to struggle, walking through this different stuff, we kind of came to the conclusion, hey, let's try to get you to get your green card so you can work on becoming a citizen so I can be legit. Now, let me tell you, what I do to make him legit is our state of Washington has a way for you to pay industrial insurance and taxes on these illegals because they want them to be covered also. So it's called an undocumented worker. And so you pay taxes on that. I pay taxes on him. And a lot of these guys that come illegally do pay taxes, but they don't get the benefits. See, he came to me from a union shop, right? And so you figure, okay, he's covered. Well, he left the union shop because he fell off a 20-foot ladder and landed on his back. And he was laid up in bed for an entire week. And they said, don't come back. And so that was his thought. It's like, okay, we're just in it. Now, it's not foreign to him because that is what they do in Mexico. You work and you're self-employed even though you're an employee. And you pay your taxes. So as we're walking through all these things, I'm learning he's sending all his money to Mexico to take care of his kids. He's living he actually lived in a house right over here in a bedroom. He rented a bedroom for $200 a month. He didn't do anything other than send his money there, and he would stay at home and watch TV. he met a gal named Sandra, and this is Jose and Sandra. She's from Guatemala, and she became a citizen 28 years ago, something like that. So she's an American citizen, fully legal. She was snuck across the border with her sisters when she was 14, put on a hat, try to look like a child. Ronald Reagan at the time signed amnesty for the Guatemalan people, and so she was able to get a green card and then become a citizen. So she started to advocate for Jose, for us to, for me to sponsor him and to get him there. Well, I tell you, it's really difficult for a non-skilled or non-educated person to become a citizen in the U.S. He has he left school at fifth grade, but you'd never know it. The guy is super bright. His written skills aren't that fantastic. They've gotten better over the years. You have to read texts phonetically. You can't read them like what the words mean, and I understand them now, just because we've been walking through life for 15 years. So they met, and what a blessing. We figured out that I couldn't sponsor him because he doesn't work at Microsoft. And that is one easy way to become a citizen, is to be highly educated and to come in and be in America and to have a lot of money. So the reality is I'm going to continue to walk with them. I wrote some notes just because I don't want to miss any of this story. So she's a citizen. She started to work for me as a helper because they needed income, and they've been doing well. They having a two-bedroom apartment in Federal Way. They have a daughter that she had from a previous husband that 12 or 13 at the time when they got married. And they just wanted more income. So she started to work with me. She first cleaned, did odd jobs, started to paint a little bit. Now she's a fantastic painter. She does interiors. But the problem is she's a small gal, and the 24-foot ladders that we carry around, she can't handle. But the team of them, you would never know it's two people. It's like they're working three because they work in tandem. So they figured out, okay, now they're married and she's a citizen, he can become a citizen. So they went to the offices here. This has been a journey for me to learn all this stuff, to start her citizenship, or his citizenship. So they were told that if he goes to Mexico for 2 weeks down to Ciudad de Juarez, which is in northern Mexico just outside El Paso, goes and pays his fees, physicals, $500, and documentation, another $500, just fee after fee after fee, that he'll become a citizen, he'll get his green card, he can move back to the U.S., or he can come back into the U.S., and it takes like 3 years after you get your green card to become a citizen. You go and pass the exam. So he did that. He asked for 2 weeks off in December of 2017, and he wanted to go from December 15th until after the New Year, so 2 to 3 weeks. And it was fantastic. Went down there. They said it's going to take longer than 2 weeks. It might take four. So they were, okay. One of the reasons he wanted to go down there, he hadn't seen his kids. And his daughter now, who I met when she was a baby, was now 9. And so it had been 9 years. Now, they FaceTime all the time. But he wanted to go see his daughters and his brothers and his dad, who was older. His mom passed away. I remember walking through that with him. And he couldn't go back because without papers, you can't go back and forth unless you want to pay that mule. And now it's become pretty dangerous. I mean, it was dangerous before because who would walk 4 days in the desert? But now it's there's people out shooting people. He told me one time he'll never go to Texas because they'll kill him if he does. And, I don't think that happens. I really don't. But that's his perception of what happens. I said, the people in Texas are like us. They talk and they're rough and tough, but they're not going to kill you. But that's his perception. So they were down there. He goes back down to Puerto Vallarta, actually a city outside of Puerto Vallarta, to see his kids, and they continue to talk to the U.S. Embassy to figure out his status there. Well, they say now it's going to maybe take 3 to 6 months. So he is down there with Sandra. She needs to come home because they actually have the daughter with them, Sandra, or Crystal. And so they come home, she goes back to school, and Jose stays. So now they've lost their primary income. You know, Sandra was working for me part-time and making a little bit of money. But they have American expenses. So he goes to work in Mexico, and this is him painting there. And he makes $15 a day to about 250 to 300 pesos a day. And this is what he's got to do. And, you know, you figure, okay, well, he could go get a different job. Well, one of the friends that has worked for me down there, he has a shop down there and sells shoes. Nice shop, lives up above it. He makes about 300 pesos a day. So pretty much everybody does. Either you're super wealthy or you don't make anything. So Sandra needed to start working full-time with me to start sending money to Jose so he could eat. Because like I said, he's eating beans and rice. Saturdays, sometimes he gets some chicken. It just hurt me. So we sent money. We sent money for him to start his citizenship back originally. The only reason I say that is not that we're some spiritually great person, but when you start walking with somebody, you start to hurt with them, and you start to hurt when they're hurting financially, and it all becomes God's money, and you start sharing it. So we had money to share, and we sent it down. So then the 3 to 6 months became 15 months. They told him. And so now we're like, oh my goodness, 15 months. Sandra ended up selling their car. They had a nice work truck, and they had a nice, you know, they were Americans. They had a car payment. They had cell phones. They had a LA Fitness membership. And they started selling their furniture. This is so Jose could eat. She moved in with her daughter, her older daughter, her name's Sandra, we call her Yaya, and started living with them and taking care of their grandson, her grandson, so to help with rent. So Sandra would start working with me in the evenings when I had projects that we could do. And so every little odd job we tried to find, and because we're just trying to get them over this hump of the 15 months. So then we get to December of this year, and we finally get an appointment date for Jose. So we go from December of 2017 to December of 2018, and he gets a date, and the date is July 5th. Oh, 6 more months, you know, 7 more months. And with all the paperwork, that's your appointment date, and then you end up still processing. And we were encouraged on one note and discouraged by another, because he's down there living in a house, and he's got it's an okay house, but it doesn't have hot water, so showers are cold, and he's in the city, a little city called Las Varas down there. We started talking with Sandra that we wanted to go visit Jose, Victoria and I. And because he's very, very proud of his city. He talks about Nayarit, which is the state that he lives in. And it's amazing the number of people around here that are from Nayarit and from Las Varas. I was at a softball game, and I see this baseball team on the... This is when I just learned that Jose's from Nayarit. This baseball team's on the field as we're waiting for them to finish. And I'm like, what is that on their chest? And it says Nayarit. I didn't even know how to spell it. It's a really weird, it's like N-A-Y something, right? And I'm like, wait, that Nayarit? And got to know Jose's friends and the tight connection that these guys have. It was fantastic. How they're connected, how each of them help each other. They've been helping. Now, resources are a little less because they're living like Jose does. But they're helping. They're giving everything they have. I mean, there's a lot we can learn from that kind of culture of community helping. So Victoria and I, in December, started talking about, okay, we need to go see him before he comes back. One, we want to see Mexico. We want to see his city. I want to meet his dad. He's shown me many pictures of his dad. I want to meet his brothers. I want to meet his kids. And plus, we wanted to go to the beach. So now, you got to remember, December for a painter is a very slow time. And I didn't have Jose all of 2018. So I have been painting, so I don't make as much money when I'm just painting by myself with a helper of Sandra in the evenings. So funds were tight. And Victoria and I, we're praying, we're called to go. But can we go here early in the year and not late in the year when I'm busy and I can't get away? So this miraculous thing happens. The Claflins have fire in their house, or smoke. You know, and yeah, I could just throw that off, hey, it's circumstance, but it is amazing. The insurance company has paid for all of their stuff. It allowed us to pay our mortgage for December and January. It allowed us to go to Mexico. And what a blessing. I mean, we were so blessed by that and the financial parts of that, and Jose has been. So it's all in the family. So we book our trip for February 4th to the 13th. And this is when we left. The morning that we left is when the snow hit. That was the first time that we had snow. We sat in our airplane for 2 hours as we were in line for the de-icing. And then we flew down to Puerto Vallarta, which there's a shot of that. So we left the snow, and we went down to there. So we find out right before we're going to leave that his date got moved. You know, praise God. And of course, you know, Jose knows we're praying. He knows that we're walking through stuff with our church, and we're walking through stuff just in life with people. And he hears. I tell him all the time, okay, well, we prayed about this, what we're supposed to do, and he's puzzled by it. But, you know, he's starting to get it. I mean, now he's really starting to get it. The appointment got moved to March 18th. So we're like, perfect. I mean, there's God telling us you need to go right away. And because he knew that it was going to move. If we would have waited, we wouldn't have got to go down there and to see this beautiful area. So it was 85 degrees. I'm sure you want to hear that. As you guys are in the snow, it was great getting the text from the elders about all the snow problems and how I was sinking in sand. So this is Puerto Vallarta. I don't know if you can really decipher this. If you look down south of Mazatlan, Puerto Vallarta is down low. It's called, actually they call it something different here. So we fly into there, and what we're going to do, there's a better map, but it's down south. And where Jose is from is north of Puerto Vallarta. So we go where that red line is up to Las Varas. It's the very top of this screen. Seems like a long ways, but it's an hour and a half, and it's along the beach. So you're going slow because you're bopping in and out. So we get off the airplane, and Jose and Sandra are waiting for us at the airport, right outside of customs. And they had taken a bus down, and because they were gonna be with us this entire time. So they're at the airport. We hug, we greet, we get on the rental van, we get our rental car, we go through all that stuff, and then we're sitting in the car, and he goes, what do you want to do when you're here? And I turned to him, and I said, I want to meet your dad. I want to meet your brothers. I want to meet your kids. I want to see your town. And he was so excited by that, But also, he got really quiet. So there was something there. And, you know, 15 years of walking with somebody, you start to know their little quirks and what's bugging them. But he didn't say why. So we head for Puerto Vallarta, and we walked around there and did kind of the American thing. Puerto Vallarta is 50% white. I don't know how to say it otherwise. It's retired people, people vacationing. We spent a couple hours there. To me, that was boring. We head up to Las Varas, and now we're the only two white people that we meet or see. So we're in Mexico, and which was exciting. We don't know the language. I don't know. I try to fake it sometimes, but I don't know it. We start. He takes us to the hotel. Victoria and I settle in. We start talking about the gifts that we brought him. Now, let me back up a little bit. The gifts, we put a lot of time, or I put a lot of time praying, what am I going to bring, Jose? And Victoria and I, we didn't even talk about it. And I finally brought it to her and said, what are we going to do? She goes, well, I ordered a book for Sandra. It's called Jesus Calling, and it's in Spanish. And I said, perfect. We'll give that as a gift. Well, so what does Amazon do? They send us two, which is awesome, because now we have one for Jose and we have one for Sandra. And so we take those down. And as we're there, we start to pray, okay, Lord, when do we give these to him? When do we make that step from we're walking through your life to a spiritual side, a kingdom citizenship? And not yet, all right? Not the first night. We go the second night. We finally kind of get a release. Okay, give these to him. So we give them these books, and they see right on the cover, it's Jesus Calling. I mean, if I showed you the book, you'd say, oh, that's Jesus Calling, but it's in Spanish. And it's fantastic. They open it up that night and read them in the morning also, and we tell them that's what we do. So we end up at a coffee shop the next morning. Or no, we went to breakfast the next morning, and this coffee that they had at the place wasn't very good. You know, we're snobs. We're from Seattle, so... they put cinnamon in their instant coffee and then mix it up. And it's instant coffee. It's just not good coffee. So our goal was we had to find a coffee shop. And we did. And so the first day at the coffee shop, we sit down and I ask Jose, we need to go see your, we're already two days in, we've already been to the beach. Why haven't we seen your dad yet? And he says, my brothers are blocking him from me. I haven't been able to see him this whole 12 months I've been here. He hasn't seen his dad. And his dad lives only two, three streets away. This town of Las Varas is like Des Moines. It's one or two main streets and then residents up above. And it's on the, you know, not far from the beach. So he hadn't seen his dad, and he was disappointed. He knew that that's what I wanted. So Victoria says, well, let's pray. And Sandra, and they're like, oh, okay. Like, okay, we're bringing in the spiritual side. So we pray for release of this, that the brothers would release it, that we'd get to see them. And I'm looking at Sandra and Jose, and they're both tearing. And they're just quiet. We get in the car. We start driving. It's probably an hour. And Jose says, can we pray like that every day? And it's just like, woo, yes, we're high-fiving Victoria and I in the back seat. This is fantastic. And then a little bit longer. So this is the encouragement that you get from people you walk from. Sandra turns around and goes, you know, you guys live like that book. And it touched our heart. Because, you know, we're trying. We're doing our thing. But for somebody to point it out and kind of say it, we go, wow, that's fantastic. So we continue. I'm going to see what I can kind of cut out here because I'm going longer than I thought it was. We continue to kind of walk with them through our trip here. This is his brother. Jose's the youngest. He has 9 brothers, 7 sisters. Yeah, just a couple. Yeah, and you thought the bowlers had something going on. He's the youngest, the different mom. A lot of them have different mothers, but most of them have the same mother. But his mom was different. This is Fernando. And we met him heading to one of the beaches, and super sweet guy. Just had a great time with him. Then we moved on. We met Alfredo, and he lives around the corner. And then Rodrigo. This is the brother. He's the oldest, I guess. He doesn't look it, but he is. He's the brother that's keeping the father from Jose. And Sandra told us a little rumor, I don't know if it's true, that Jose was adopted, that he's not really the father. I don't know that that's true. I see resemblance, but he's keeping him from him. This guy we met when we were going to go get churros. He makes churros on the side of the road. In fact, he's at his churro place right here. And we're talking like pretzel-sized churros. These are so good. And he was very mean-looking. I mean, he really was. Now, he's smiling here, but this is about the third or fourth day that we started to get together with him, because we started going to his place for breakfast and then to coffee. And it's so funny. Victoria, I mean, he's got tattoos, and honestly, he looks like one of those guys that you think is in a gang. And Victoria walks up to shake his hand, but no, she wasn't going to shake his hand. She gives him a hug, and I saw his face. He was like, oh. And Victoria hugs him, and then he started to break down. And him and Jose actually had a conversation about seeing the brother, so which was fantastic. But one of the most encouraging things was Fernando, when we shared with him about the problem. This is right after we prayed, by the way, about opening up and seeing his dad. His wife said, well, we go and see him every couple of weeks. And Fernando said, we'll get you to see him. And Jose's like, praise God. He knew right away. We get in the car right after that. And he goes, we just prayed for that. So he was super excited about it. And this is Arturo and another brother. So we're going to Tepec, which is up north about 3 hours from where we're staying. And we make this decision. Hey, let's go along the coast instead of the main road up there. He ends up selling oysters on the side of the road on the direction. So a little serendipity there. It's like we weren't planning on seeing him, but we got to see him, and he's got this little hut, and he sells oysters from it. It was just fantastic. All the little things that were going on, and as we're praying every morning. So the next morning after we prayed the first time, Jose actually brought a list. He wanted us to pray for his kids, and it kind of went on and on. And he is excited now about this prayer deal, right? And he's reading his book. And the reason we gave him those books and not the scriptures, because I don't think he's ready for the scriptures. He's not a believer yet. He hasn't accepted Christ in his life. God's working in his life. But we picked those because he can read a scripture, and then it talks about that scripture. Now, if he was right here and he was back in the U.S. and working for me, we could do that in the morning. We could open the scriptures, read it, and I could talk to him, and it would make some sense. But this is what God put on our heart, and it's fantastic. They are so on fire for getting these scriptures every day. So by the third day, we say, all right, Jose, well, why don't you pray? And he's like, okay. And Sandra prays, and it was simple. It was, God, we need your help. And it was really heartfelt. And they are earnestly seeking him, and they're earnestly praying. When we left for the airport, we stopped at Starbucks in the airport, and we're waiting for our flight. He says to us, okay, before you go, I want to pray for you guys. No. So we all huddled around at the airport. And sure enough, it was fantastic. So we spent our time at the beach suffering for Christ, walking through all these things with Jose, trying to get this thing figured out. So we head home. We're here, and they head to their date, March 18th, at the city outside of El Paso. So, again, we send them money. We pay for the hotel. It's a super dangerous city. The cartel is really big there because they know people are there getting their green cards. They have money, and they're going to cross the border. So he has to. He's there. He goes to his appointment. They have this huge list of activity or stuff that you need to bring, and they add to the list when he gets there. So he needs proof that he was in Mexico for the last 15 or year, and that he hasn't been in jail. They were super discouraged. We're praying with them through text messages that, you know, God's peace be upon you and just that things. And then they're feeling it, and then they're not, and they're discouraged. They get the paperwork. They got the paperwork in Friday. Yeah, Friday. They were hopeful that Saturday they could meet with somebody because they're open. But that didn't happen. They got to spend another week or so in the city. They moved. They met some friends. They moved to a cheaper place. I said, don't go too cheap because we want your safety. We sent more money because this is what you do when you walk with people. You spend the time with it. One thing, I got one more story, and then I'll kind of close. So we're in the city outside of Las Varas. I don't remember what it was called. And I had been looking for a bracelet. I told Jose I wanted an authentic Mexican bracelet, right? And so he starts looking at the beaded ones, which the Indian native Mexicans make, and they're big white beads and stuff. And we're looking, and he's taking me all over the place, and he's energized to get me this thing because he knew that's the one thing I wanted. I didn't want to get too fancy. So I'm saying no, and he's showing me these fancy ones. I'm saying no, and it was going on for several days. We were at this having breakfast at this place. I went to the bank and was walking back. Sandra and Victoria were at the restaurant, and we walked right by the restaurant, and there's this young gal making this bracelet. And she's probably 18, maybe 20. And I kind of see her making it, and it's like, oh, it's got my colors, right? And I kind of walk by, and I'm like, I'm not going to stop. I kind of walked by her, and then God said, that's it. I'm like, what? Sit down. I kind of looked to Victoria, and I said, I found my bracelet, but I think. So she jumps up, goes and gets the gal in her boldness, right? Just that's what she does. And her and Sandra walk over for the translation. So she comes back, and she's standing right there, and I'm sitting down. I'm getting ready to eat my omelet, right? And they wanted to measure my wrist because their wrists are a little smaller, and big fat American. So she goes to measure, and I kind of turn, and she's pregnant. I mean, and she's not a little pregnant. She's 8 months, 7 months. I mean, she's got a bump. And I'm like, oh, goodness, right? It hit me really quick about just the walk with her and showing Jose and Sandra. It's just not, it's all the time. Kingdom work is all the time. So I look, I'm kind of choked up. They make it, they walk away, they come back, we pay them super, we give them some good money. Victoria says, in her boldness, can we pray for you? And I look at Sandra and Jose, right? Immediately they're like, here? In this restaurant? This is a place that that Jose had painted, right? And that's why he was showing us this restaurant. And so she comes over, we put hands on her and Jose, and they start praying blessings, and we're going around the circle praying blessings on them, and then they go off, and then I look, and again, they're tearing. I'm like, that's what you do. So my question for all of us here, for all of you here, who's your Jose? Who are you walking with? Remember, Jesus said, come follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. That's a different version I really like. So I would challenge you to become fishers of men. Thank you.